So I love the readings on the first Sundays of Ordinary Time because we go back to the beginning of Jesus's public ministry, which would include his first call of the apostles, his first encounter, first of all, with the apostles, and then his calling them. And I just think it's pretty amazing to imagine Jesus walking along the sea, stops, sees two brothers in a boat, Peter and Andrew, and he beckons to them, he invites them to follow him, and they do. It's amazing. He goes along a little farther, sees two more brothers, James and John. This time they're in the boat with other people, but he looks specifically at James and John and calls them, and they follow him. They get up immediately and follow him. So it's good for us to see Jesus calling his disciples, good for us to see the apostles respond so immediately and so generously. It's really a generous gift of self that the apostles make, leaving their career, leaving their families, all in order to follow this Jesus. And he says something to them that might be a little confusing. I wonder if it confused them at the time. He says, "I will make you fishers of men." So just as they, moments previous, had been casting hooks into the water, trying to attract and hook a fish, now their life was going to be trying to attract people, not to themselves, but to the same one who had attracted them, to Jesus. So Jesus fished for them in this passage, catches them, draws them to himself, and this is precisely what they're going to be doing too. Catching others and drawing them not to themselves, but to Jesus. So it's good for us to see this, because this cycle is to play out over and over again through the centuries as Jesus continues to call people to follow him. And when people say yes to his invitation, what happens to them? Well, they become changed, and now they attract others to Jesus. So the cycle continues down through the centuries. I love to learn about the lives of the saints, and because we see this same thing happening with them. Someone attracts them to Jesus, they say yes, Jesus changes them, and then they become attractive to others and draw others to Jesus. So yesterday I was thinking about the saint that the church in the United States celebrates on January 23rd, which is yesterday, an American saint. Her name's Saint Marianne Cope. And she's a saint I don't think a lot of people know about, so I like to talk about her to try to change that so more people will know about her. But I find her life very inspiring, especially because of her generous yes to Jesus. So a little bit about her life. Saint Marianne was born Barbara Cope. She was born in Germany. And then when a year later after she was born, then her parents moved to Syracuse, New York. She's born in 1838. And when they arrived to Syracuse, they were, like most other immigrant families, really poor. Eventually, her parents would have a number of other children, so that she was one of the oldest of 10. And her father was very sickly, and so she ended up needing to take care of the family, including, after she finished the eighth grade, going to work in a factory in order to support her family. Eventually, her father dies, and then she has the freedom to do what she'd been wanting to do for a long time, which is to become a religious sister. And she joins a convent in Syracuse of the Sisters of St. Francis. And the Sisters of St. Francis then and still now are involved in hospital ministry. So in her order then, she was instrumental in establishing a few large hospitals in upstate New York, which still exist today. And for a number of years was administrator of St. Joseph's Hospital in Syracuse. She's a really talented administrator and extremely compassionate. So she insisted that they care for whoever showed up at the door, no matter what ethnicity they were, no matter what religion they were, and no matter what their affliction was. One of the things she was criticized for doing was for caring for alcoholics, because that was a stigma, and some doctors wouldn't treat alcoholism, but she treated every person who came to her hospital door. Eventually, her community would elect her into a leadership position because she was such a good administrator, and she became the mother superior of her community. And it was shortly after this that she gets a letter from the Bishop of Honolulu, who is begging for sisters to come and serve in Hawaii to build up their schools and hospitals, and especially to take care of their people with leprosy. So the bishop had sent this letter to probably 50 different congregations in the United States, and nobody would send any sisters except Mother Cope. And not only did she want to send sisters, but she herself wanted to go. Now, we might be thinking, sounds like a pretty sweet deal to be able to go to Hawaii and serve there. I agree with that. However, at the time, the Hawaiian Islands were extremely primitive and were stricken with disease and poverty, and it was really a terrible place to go at that time. But her heart was given over to Jesus, and so when she gets this letter, she really believes that that's his invitation for her not only to send sisters but also to go herself. So in 1883, when she's in her late 40s, she goes, and she works there to build up their hospital system and establishes some hospitals. And after a while, then, she encounters another saint who's down there at the time. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a little more well-known. His name is Saint Damien of Molokai, who at that time was serving the leper community on a little island called Molokai. So she meets him, and a couple years later, he himself contracts Hansen's disease, which is the formal name for leprosy, and now he's dying. And so the king of Hawaii asks Mother Cope if she would send sisters to take over for Father Damien. And again, she experienced that as Jesus's invitation. And so she not only sends sisters, but she goes herself to this very remote island. And leprosy was greatly feared. Even when Father Damien, who for many years was serving the leper community there, even when he would go into the main islands for different things during his time, I mean, people didn't want to come into contact with him because they were so fearful of this disease, and they knew that it's kind of like coronavirus, that there was so much fear surrounding it. But Mother Cope, confident in Jesus's call, went anyway. And there she would spend the rest of her life. She died of natural causes when she was 82 years old. But for 35 years, she would serve there in Hawaii, a lot of which time was spent in the leper colony serving that population. She always wanted to go back to Syracuse. She always wanted to see her family again someday, but she never did. And so what we see is the generosity of the saints when they say yes to the Lord. And saying yes to the Lord always requires some sacrifice. Sometimes the sacrifice is big, sometimes the sacrifice is little. But these saints who are able to say yes to the Lord see in him the greatest treasure that they could ever ask for. We can ask, well, why, how in the world could they leave their career? Could they leave their family? How in the world could Marianne Cope say, yes, I'll go halfway around the world with the possibility that I'll never see my family again? Well, it's because they were in love with Jesus. Because they saw in Jesus the greatest possible good for their life, their own life, and for the life of the world. And they would do anything he asked of them. And every sacrifice was worth it. Why? Because they were in love. They saw someone whom they believed it was worth giving up everything, including their life. You know, we see in them that parable enacted of Jesus, of that crazy person who finds the pearl of great price, and so they sell everything that they have in order to buy the pearl. And we might think, well, now, what do you do now? You lost your home, you sold your home, but you have the stupid pearl. Well, because the pearl means everything. It's the greatest treasure. It's the greatest one. So in our own lives, brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us too. He does call men and women to give up everything and to follow him. And we have to pray for our young people who are called in this way, that they would have the generosity of spirit and that Jesus would touch them so much that they would want nothing other than to make a great sacrifice for his sake. But all of us, he invites and he calls in big ways and in little ways. And so we can ask ourselves, when Jesus is inviting me, how do I respond? Do I respond with trust? Do I respond generously? Am I willing to make a generous gift of myself, even when it involves sacrifice? So in all the little ways that we feel God, Jesus calling us in our life, to help this person, to serve this person, to stand up for the truth in this situation, to teach religious ed, whatever it is, let's ask the Lord today, as we encounter the same Jesus today at the altar whom called the apostles in our gospel, the same Jesus who called Marianne Cope from New York to Hawaii. It's the same Jesus that we meet here today. It's the same Jesus who calls each one of us in big ways and in little ways. Maybe as we encounter him today, we can ask him what he's calling us to do in big ways and in little ways, and to give us the grace to make a generous yes to him in response.